Welcome to the Kaleidoscope of Possibilities, Alternative Perspectives on Mental Health. My name is Dr. Adriana Popescu. I'm a licensed clinical psychologist and leader in the field of mental health, energy psychology, addiction, trauma, and empowerment. In this podcast, we will be exploring mental health from a variety of perspectives, from the spiritual to the shamanic and beyond. What if mental illness isn't everything we think it is? What if everything we see as a pathology is actually a possibility? What else is possible with mental health?
Hi, everyone. Dr. Adriana Popescu here with you today with another episode of Kaleidoscope of Possibilities, Alternative Perspectives on Mental Health. I'm really excited to have with me as my guest today, Ray Leonard. She is the author, intuitive guide, and coach who's written a latest book called High Sobriety, A Trip Out of the Bottle into Your Intuition. She draws on several areas of expertise, including Jiva Mukti Yoga, Vortex Healing, Conscious Language, and Master Cleansing to help people who are ready for post-traumatic growth, one of my favorite topics to talk about. Ray combines her coaching practice with frequency work, biofeedback, and transformation to help her clients intentionally change their deep-rooted patterns and unearth a carefully calibrated inner compass. Welcome, Ray.
Oh, thank you, Adriana.
Yes. So happy to have you with us, sharing your story, your wisdom, your experiences. Let's start, like we always do on this show, with hearing a little bit more about you, how you came to be doing the work that you're doing today, and anything else that'll help our audience get to know you a little bit better.
Okay, well, my parents split up when we were all very young, and I was left to my own devices, I would say. And the benefit of that was that very early on, I developed my clairsenses, our psychic powers, extra sensory perceptions, or other names for clairsenses. They're your senses of your intuition. And so it was a good thing because I was comforted and surrounded by the birds, and I could see things that other people couldn't see. And I was young enough that I didn't care what other people thought of me. My strongest sense is my sense of sense. My nose knows. So, you know, when people say, oh, I smell a rat, they are clairsentient. So I could smell someone's house before I stepped inside, and I would know if I wanted to go in there or not. People's breaths, people's odors individually. I could smell a change, that I would be alerted to something. So I didn't listen to what people said. I listened to my nose. And this worked out really well for me for a while. But then I became an adolescent, and I would say peer pressure and the entrainment of the public school system, you know, they're certainly not teaching you about how to develop your clairsenses in gym class, right? Mm-hmm. No, absolutely not. And drugs and alcohol came into my environment. I was in New York in the East Village in the 70s when I was about 12 or 13, and I liked them. I was like, oh, these are a really good way to kill pain. This is awesome. So my clairsenses took a back seat for a very long time. I was a binger. I would go, you know, on tangents with drugs and alcohol, but I always like to say, oh, I'm so lucky, you know, I don't have an addictive personality, as I was like snorting and drinking whiskey and all the things. And for a long time, that was true. So, you know, I was kind of a badass on one hand. And then on the other hand, I was a health nut, naturally. I was a yoga teacher and I had a really strong Buddhist practice. I chant Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. I always liked good food. I went to health food stores and smoothie shops, and I knew what it was like to take care of myself and feel good. And then there was this other side of me that was binging on alcohol and drugs occasionally. So I ran this dualistic life until my mid-40s when, surprise, surprise, this very addictive, mass-produced, mass-marketed, socially acceptable, and extremely dangerous substance got a hold of me. Luckily, I had tools that younger people who become addicted don't necessarily have, and I leaned heavily on them. I kept drinking, but I started doing more asana. I kept drinking, but I started listening to sober podcasts. I felt that there was this negative entity that kind of had a hold on me, and I could distinguish between that entity's voice and my voice saying to me, oh, you know, you should have a glass of wine. It's 3 o'clock, or, you know, just have a little nip. It'll be easier to go to the grocery store or pick up the kids from school. You know, you'll be chilled out. And I knew it wasn't me. And I felt that I had to sneak up on it. So I continued to drink and pulled a sneak attack, is what I like to say. And when I was ready, I quit cold turkey. And rock bottom is when you quit digging. You don't have to get to the point where you have to go to detox and need help and, you know, are physically so addicted to alcohol that you need medication. You can catch it at any time and say, even though this drug is socially acceptable and all my friends are doing it on the weekends and why can't I control it? You can just say, I've had enough, and stop. So I quit. All of a sudden, my clear senses came flooding back into my life, comforting me, bringing me joy. And I wanted to share that. So I became an energy healer. And now I get to share my gifts with others. And, you know, I'm living the life that I was meant to live.
You know, there's so much in your story I want to explore more. But I have, you know, as somebody, you know, who works with addiction, you know, as a psychologist and coach, one of the things that I do often see with our clients is that I think a lot of them have those intuitive senses, the clair senses. They're attuned to, especially, you know, they're highly sensitive people. They're very attuned to the energies of others. I think many of them can also perceive things in the spirit world or other unseen worlds. And I think what can happen for them has been my experience is that oftentimes they don't know what to do with all of that. It can feel like a stimulus overload. They can't differentiate what's their own stuff and other people's stuff. And I think they get so overwhelmed with all of that, that often they turn to drugs and alcohol as a way to numb that awareness. I wonder if you could say more about that and if that's something you were experiencing.
Yes, I would definitely say that I was, and that I am, a highly sensitive person. Yes. And in my case, I feel that I was in a lot of pain as a young person, and it absolutely helped me with that. And taking on other people's energy and other people's stuff. Being young, it's a lot. It's a lot to deal with. And you're very vulnerable to addiction. And, you know, I was kind of lucky that I was always playing with it hard. I just really consider myself so fortunate that it didn't get a hold of me until later when it was easier. So I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as people, when you work with folks who are, let's say, coming off of drugs and alcohol, and maybe starting now to tune into all these things that they had been trying to numb or suppress or whatever it was, or even the pain, you know, that comes up when people get sober, because it's not like any of that stuff went away. I think people have this misperception that I could just sort of drink it away or smoke it away or whatever. It doesn't go away. It's always there. It's always in your body. That pain, whatever material it is, the trauma, right? The things you haven't dealt with. How do you support people when they are getting sober around all of that, like the deluge of stuff that can start coming back in? Like, what helped you when you were going through all that?
Young Living essential oils were at my doorstep in a very mystic way. 2 days after I shut that door, you know, when you shut a door, another one always opens. It's absolutely true. And here was a substance that was plant medicine and helped me, brought me a pillowy comfort that I needed at that time when I was very raw. So Young Living essential oils, absolutely. I also started a master cleanse regime where, you know, when I got sober, I could see the crumbled relationships in my life and the things that I hadn't been dealing with. It all did come up, and I could see that I had caused it all. You know, I was finished blaming other people for my circumstances, and I found master cleansing through a wonderful teacher. And I started peeling off. What it does is the lemon and the cayenne pepper and the water soak layers of gook inside of yourself that you stuff down when you were eating, when you were digesting, and those emotions are stuck there. So that was my method. There's many things you can do. This worked really well for me. I did a lot of cleansing over a period of 2 years, and layer by layer, I peeled off crap in my colon, unwanted thoughts and ideas and emotions, and I let them go. And I really transformed from the inside. So sometimes I feel that's missing in addiction support.
Yeah, not only missing in addiction support, I mean, certainly, and especially like with alcohol, you know, the damage it does to your system, especially your gut, you know, your gut flora, and how much nowadays we're understanding about, you know, we're producing more serotonin in our gut than we are in the brain. I think it is an overlooked, undertreated, unacknowledged aspect of detox and recovery, is to work with the on that level with the body. But the other piece of this that I think is so important for people to understand, because a lot of people do cleanses and detoxes just in general, more so for like weight loss or I don't know, just general physical health, but people aren't talking about the emotional detox aspects of detox. And I just wonder if you could say a little bit more about that, because I certainly have had the experience where I was doing some kind of cleanse and all kinds of icky, like emotional stuff. And like you said, belief stuff, when I thought we were just purging, like, you know, pesticides and whatnot that I had like inhaled or eaten from our, you know, toxic environment we live in. But there's all this other stuff going on with the cleanse that people don't acknowledge. Can you go more into that?
Yes. Well, when you start a master cleanse, it's important to set an intention for it, what you want to accomplish. And this is a guiding post. This is a guidepost for when you want to give up and stop after 2 or 3 days, because your emotions are everything's got to come up and out. You know, it's either going to go through your digestive system out, or it's going to come up through your skin. It's going to come up emotionally. You have to bring these things up and out. And when you keep going. And when you do a number of cleanses, you get to know what's what, and you get more and more trust that, oh, okay, I can ride out this, this crying spell or whatever's coming up for me, because I'm using mantras such as, I am the one who lets everything go, and I am the one who lets everything come. It's about letting go. And we also use Louise Hay's work, Heal Your Body. So we understand that the emotional component to healing, it's not just a diet. It's not about losing weight. It's about losing waste, things you don't need anymore. And you got to go through them, and they got to come up and out in some way or another.
So as you are going through that, or a person is going through that, I can imagine that, you know, and I've had the experience too. I wasn't able to do Master Cleanse more than a couple of days at a time in my life when I was very sick with Lyme disease. It was almost like it was like overwhelming and too much for me to handle. And I had no guidance, you know, nobody was mentoring me through this. I just sort of was doing it on my own. And I remember laying in bed being so exhausted and seeing commercials, even commercials for like fast food, and like desperately wanting it. Like, it was really hard. Like, you know, that particular cleanse at that time in my life was really difficult. What other things do you use, methods, or you said mantras, but like other things that help people get through a process like that? Because I mean, especially for somebody, you know, getting clean from drugs and alcohol, who maybe has had an addiction, they don't want to feel all that stuff. I mean, that's why they were using their drugs in the first place. Like, what else can support someone going through a process like that, especially around the psychology of like, this is really intense and uncomfortable?
Yes. Well, as an energy worker, I use a little frequency device called the Healy. And when your frequency is low, when you're feeling all these emotions, I have this little device that I use that matches the frequency of what you want. It sees you in your most exalted state, and then it delivers a frequency so that you can match who you want to be, what your intention is. Einstein said, when you match the frequency of the reality that you want, you cannot help but get that reality. This is not philosophy, it's physics. So this helps me a lot. I use it about 24 hours a day, and it helps me spiritually, emotionally, and physically. There's lots of different ways you can use it, because we are space. You know, we're 99.9% space in our, when we go down through our tissues, through our organs, beyond that, molecules, atoms, subatomic particles. When you look at subatomic particles under a microscope, it's all space. So what does that tell us? Well, that tells us that you're not Adriana and I'm not Ray, that we are space. And we can communicate with each other, and we can see our connection to each other. I mean, that's so important, community, and understanding that when you're suffering, other people are going to be suffering because you're suffering. We're not islands. We're all connected. So frequency medicine is just a really easy way to spread the love in me.
Yeah, and I think people don't quite understand sometimes the physics behind this stuff. You know, they call it woo-woo and weird and out there, but actually, you know, and some people I think would refer to what you're talking about as like law of attraction stuff, right? Be that energy of what you wish to attract. But it really, like, the deeper you dive into physics, I think especially quantum physics, you know, the work that Einstein kind of pioneered, you start to realize, you know, and they do these crazy experiments, you know, where they take two electrons or two particles that have been, you know, associated with each other, and they separate them by miles or like thick steel plates or whatever, and they do something to one, you know, and then the other one is doing the same thing a million miles away. And you realize, like, truly, there is no separation. Just because I'm in this body and you're in that one and I'm in California and you're on the East Coast, that doesn't mean that, like, what's happening in your frequency field is not affecting what's happening in mine. And it's so fascinating. We don't learn that stuff and we don't understand that. And then so that makes it so we don't understand technologies that actually could assist us. You know, people are shut down and unwilling to look at these healing methods that are focused on energy. And yeah, you know, it's unfortunate because I do think there's a lot of benefit that can be had from so many different modalities and tools and devices and things like that.
Yes. And you're a doctor, so you can easily go in and understand quantum physics and research it further, and you have that advantage. Yet, it can be simply said, do you know how your key fob works? Do you know how that works when you open up your car?
I mean, it's sending some frequency to the thing, right? It's doing something energetic.
Exactly. It's sending a frequency to your car. Do you need to know how that works to get your car open? And if you don't care, then even better, because it just works. You just use it. It works. Some people might care and some people might want to research it and figure it out. I don't. I just want to, or turn the television on or turn the radio on. And you're, when we used to have dials, I'm dating myself, when you used to have dials and you would tune the radio to, that's tuning it to a frequency, to a wave band of information that is moving through space, which we mostly are. That's how it relates to us. We are electromagnetic beings, and these are electromagnetic tools. So they help us. You know, we're not bags of chemicals and mechanics. We're electromagnetic beings.
And it's so fascinating how people, you know, I think about light therapy and sound therapy. I mean, people obviously, I mean, music is sound therapy and always has been, you know, even don't even talk about sound baths and, you know, all of the other actual sound, what we call sound healing that's become so popular these days. But I think about light devices, you know, people are using lasers and LED light on their face for anti-aging, and they're using it, you know, for different like medical healing. You know, I have this cat who's, you know, here in my lap, who's had, you know, some health issues, and we were using laser on him, and he was, you know, really benefiting from those treatments. But nobody is talking as much about like, how do we use these forms of energy healing, light, sound, whatever it may be, the Healy, you know, to help people with their emotional and psychological issues. You know, it's so we're more concerned with the keeping youthful appearance than we are with our inner well-being. And I'm just curious if you have a comment on that.
Well, that's what we're taught, and that's what we're taught is important, how we physically look. We're not taught that our emotional well-being is important or affects other things, affects other people. Our emotions is emotion. It's literally emotion. It's very important. Our emotions are much more powerful than our brain. So, you know, there's a lot of inverse education going on to kind of keep us away from our natural gifts and our higher consciousness. So it's not a surprise that we don't know what we're doing, and that we need to hang out together more and listen to your podcasts more and share what we know, so that we can get this information out there so that people can be happier and live more fulfilling lives.
Yes, yes. And knowing that like a pill or a drink isn't really the route to any of that. That's, and if anything, it's a distraction pulling you away from that. And so I'm curious too, you in your bio, I was reading about other things our audience might be curious about. You know, on the show, we've never talked about vortex healing. I actually have a friend who was very into this for a while, so I know a little bit about it, and obviously you know a lot about it. Can you share something about this form of healing and what it is and how it has helped you in your journey?
Vortex healing is magic. It's a kind of energy healing that is based on Merlin from Camelot. And it goes back 14 Merlins to the original Merlin. And how it helped me was, it was a very long and complicated training. And I like to take trainings and take what I like from it. That's what comes easy to me. And one of the skills that came easy to me was putting people in the grid. So it's a way of, when someone's sick or needs emotional support, or we could put Wookie in the grid, and you picture this grid, and you wake up your center, your solar plexus, and you form this, you actually see this grid, and then you float the people or the person or the animal in that grid and send them healing. It's pretty woo. It's pretty woo. And I love to pull it out of my bag of tricks and use it when I can. And it's definitely 100% based on magic. So if you lean in that direction, go take a vortex healing training. It's wonderful.
Well, and again, you know, woo-woo and magic, yes, and also based in some kind of real science and physics, because, I mean, they've done the studies on, like, prayer at a distance, or when we send healing intentions, you know, when you get a bunch of people all meditating together or praying together, like they have in the eastern part of the world, they do that quite often, and they can measure differences in random number generators all around the world. You know, when you get a group of people all focusing their intentions on one thing, there's a lot of science. You know who's really great at this? I was like plugging these guys. The folks at IONS, the Institute of Noetic Sciences, Dean Radin and all his scientists there are doing such amazing work in this area to show that magic is real and woo-woo is real. In fact, Dean Radin's last book, I think, had magic in the title. And this is the most, like, scientific, nerdy, you know, physics science guy you could imagine. But he's done so much research and written these incredible books that really show how underneath all of this crazy woo-woo stuff that we're talking about is real, like, scientific fact and laws of the universe that we just haven't really understood up until now, which I think is fascinating.
Yes. And it's based on intention. I'm going to make a difference. What I do is going to make a difference right now. How I feel is going to make a difference. So I'm going to make that effort to feel better and better every moment. I'm going to learn the tricks and the tips and the tools to figure out how I can feel better.
Which kind of brings us back right to full circle to where you started your story. You know, you had these gifts and talents. You didn't know what to do with them. You didn't really you didn't get a whole lot of guidance around how to use them. And then you went down another path for a while, came back around, and now here you are exploring your gifts and learning tools and techniques to harness all of that, your wisdom, your intuition and all of that, and now working with people to help them do the same.
And I see the proof. You know, you have to believe at first, and that's where, you know, you have to have a little blind faith, and then you start getting proof. I have a couple that I'm working with who were about to break up, and we did some Healy work. They got to see the subconscious triggers that were going on for both of them. That was very interesting. They didn't they didn't know what was going on for the other person, but they got to see it in the analysis and they're doing really well. You know, he was moving out and they're staying together. I have another client who was having a lot of problems with her in-laws, and working with the Healy, and in 2 weeks, she booked a cruise with her in-laws and her husband, like really making a difference in relationships. I have another client who's an actress who's like, I want to book a role on a TV series. Now, boom, it happened in 3 weeks.
Wow. Yes. So that's cool. Then that brings us to a kind of another topic, which is this ask and receive. And again, intention, but like wording it in this form of ask and receive. Like when we ask for something, if we are actually willing, my experience is if we're actually willing to have it, we don't have a subconscious block in the way that anything we ask for is pretty easily, you know, actualized. I mean, over and over again, every day, what would it take? You know, I'll be in the question of what would it take to get a parking spot right in front of where I'm trying to go? Or I had to move recently, you know, and I asked very clearly about what kind of space I wanted to wake up and see redwood trees. And sure enough, out my window, there are redwood trees. The ask and receive is a real thing, but the receiving part is where people sometimes are stuck. And this is the what I would call then the subconscious blocks. And this might be things like our limiting beliefs, these things that we pick up, the programs and things we pick up some early in life, like I don't deserve this good thing, or I'm not good enough, right? Or it's not safe for me to have that. So tell us more about how that works and how the way you work with folks is really targeting those subconscious blocks to what I would call receiving what we're asking for.
Yes. Well, I like to put it in terms of I am. I am is stepping into the beingness. It's God source. It's not pleading or trying or wanting. I am letting go. I am health. I am wealth. I am in love. When you step into the I am and you put your intentions in those words, you can feel it instantly. You become what you want. So how do you stay there, right? So you ask for something, the universe delivers. How does that become in your vernacular or in your environment where you see it right away? Well, it's the faster that you keep feeling good, it's going to happen. It's a hot potato, cold potato. You know that game? You hot potato, you're close, 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 hot potato, cold, cold, cold. You're further away from it. The more that you can keep yourself high vibrationally in a great emotional place, the faster the universe delivers your stuff to you. So figure out how that works for you, how you can keep yourself feeling good. You ask for it, it's there. Now your job is to let it happen and have fun with it. This is fun. It's not so serious. We're here to have fun. We're here for the contrast. We're here. So when you see it the opposite, you're like, I asked for it and now I wanted this job and now it's the opposite. I didn't get that job. Well, bummer. This doesn't work. Well, I'm going to go bum out and you know, drink a bottle of whiskey or eat a pint of ice cream. Or then you're blocking yourself from maybe it was a better job that you're going to get, but now you're in a downward spiral of not feeling good and you're not going to see it very quickly.
I think people really struggle with law of attraction for that reason, right? Because like, then they just give up. They're like, I can't, I it makes sense to me, but then I don't know how to be that energy and stay that energy. I don't know how to be in a high vibration.
Yeah, it's a practice. It's a practice. It's little energetic adjustments. So for myself, if I say, I am sad. Cancel, cancel, delete, delete on that. Well, then I become sad. I'll catch myself and say, what am I saying? I'm sad. I'm not sad. I feel great. I feel fantastic. Or I'll trick myself and I'll do a little dance. You know, I can do it very quickly now because I've done it for a long time, but maybe it's just changing it to, I feel sad, not I am sad. Or maybe I wouldn't feel so sad if I went outside for a walk. You have to figure out for yourself what is going to bring you just a little step-by-step up an emotional guidance scale so you're feeling better and better. And whatever is going to do it for you, whatever, however you're going to catch yourself, but try and catch. And then even if you go down and you spiral down and you're like, I just spent hours in hell feeling bad about this. Oh, wait a minute. I just caught myself. Yay me. I'm out of it now.
All right. Now I can get out of it. Right.
Mm-hmm. Wherever you catch yourself is fine. Just catch yourself.
I think you said the important thing, which is practice. And it can take some work. And then, you know, the person who's looking for a quick fix, you know, through drugs, alcohol, or I don't know, some other pint of ice cream, you know, some other kind of potentially addictive behavior, the quick fix, you know, isn't necessarily going to get you where you want to go. In fact, if anything, it's getting you in the opposite direction, energetically. And so, you know, people need to understand that this isn't an easy process. We deal with this every day at the rehab. You know, we have people come for 30 days of treatment. If they're lucky, they get 30 days. And they think, you know, they come in, they're like, fix me in 30 days. I want to come out of here healed of all my trauma. I want to be, you know, clean and sober from my drugs and alcohol. And they really sometimes don't want to do the work. They think that recovery is going to be the quick fix. There is no quick fix there. You know, you have to do the work.
Yeah. Yeah. But luckily, the work is getting to know you.
Well, and it gets easier. That's the other thing, right? It may be harder at first when you're first learning, but it does get easier with time, like you said.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where you have to have a little faith, a little blind faith until you have the proof. And then you have a little more blind faith, and then you get a little more proof, and you string it together. You string your happiness together, and you don't want to lose that. You don't want to lose that anymore. You know, you see how far you've come. Then you've made some distance. You're at a plateau. Wow. I don't want to fall back down into those old habits. I'm here now. And community helps, and knowing that we're all connected helps. I mean, that really made a difference to me and makes a difference to me every day when I think about choices that I'm going to make, and that every choice I make is going to affect everyone on the planet in some way.
Yeah. And that, you know, who we choose to surround ourselves with, you know, like that idea of like, who are the five people you spend the most time with? And like, what is their energy? And is that the energy you really want to be around? Is it really serving you? Again, for those of us who are also really sensitive, you know, if we choose to surround ourselves with toxic people, with negative, unhappy people, what is that doing for us? And what is that doing for the world, right? That's the way I sometimes talk with folks about it.
Yeah. You're going to lose people as you grow. And I like the saying, leaders lead alone. They don't go, come on guys. I'm your leader. Come with me. They branch out. They do what they have to do alone. And then they find their people because they've changed and they've grown and now they have something to say or do, and their energy is positive and people are attracted to them. So it's okay. You can still love people and let them go and not hang out with them as much. You can send them love and release them. And this is hard for people to grasp too, right? Because they want to hang on to all their old friends and all the old things, as well as get, and this is where master cleansing comes in. You can't, if you're full of stuff, you can't receive more stuff. You have to let this these things go and become an open vessel with some room in it and some faith and some trust. And then all the good things start flowing in. You have room for them. You've made room for them.
So Ray, if people want to find out more about your work and you know, the different things that you do, because you're such a wealth of knowledge, where can they go? And can you tell us about your book? You know, what other resources are there for those who want to take a deeper dive into what we're talking about?
Oh, well, my book has a lot of the things that we've been talking about and many more. It's my magic pouch, and that's why I wrote it, is so that other people could go into the magic pouch and say, oh, I like this one, I like this one, I like this one. And there's a lot of funny, humorous, and scary stories from my life illustrating my clairsenses. So you can go to my website, which is rayleonard.me, RAELEONARD.me. I love to talk to people. I love when people ask me questions. Just say hi. You heard the podcast. You want to connect. That's my favorite thing. You can also go to Instagram and send me a DM. That is I am Ray Leonard. Fancy that. I am Ray Leonard is my Instagram handle. You can say hi.
Fabulous. And we'll make sure all of that is in the show notes. And I guess my last question is, you know, coming back to the Clairs, where we, you know, kind of started our conversation, what advice do you have for those who maybe are starting to recognize, oh, maybe I do have more awareness, more talents and gifts in this arena, but I have no idea what to do with them. Maybe I've even been, you know, avoiding them for a long time. What would you just suggest for like beginning steps?
I like to play a game with people called the 5D treasure hunt. So you go into nature, or if you live in the city, just open up your window so you have something natural going on, or go sit in a park. I like to lay in my hammock, get in a really, really relaxed place. And you're just looking for connections. A bird will sing as a leaf falls. That could be a recognition of a thought that you had. That's the universe confirming, oh, that was a good thought. You start to put different clairs together. You see something, you hear something. Oh, I'm clairaudient and clairvoyant at the same thing. Start making clusters of your clairs. Start noticing in a natural setting that these aren't coincidences, that they're synchronicities. And the more that you do that, the more that you're listening, the more that your spirit guides and everybody's going to come and hang out and want to be with you and share with you when you're open to receiving the information and noticing.
Agreed. And help it. And I love that doing it out in nature part, because it's a lot, it's a lot quieter for your mind in nature than when you're in like around a lot of people and there's a lot of
we are noise. Nature.
Yes, right.
We are nature. Exactly. So that's our people going in nature. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for this conversation today, Ray. It's truly been a gift to us, the audience. Thank you for the gift, Yubi. You know, thank you for everyone who's tuned in and watched or listened to the show. Please, if you do like this, share, comment, rate, review the podcast. All these things help tease those algorithms into getting this information out there in the hands of more people, because it is such crucial information. We have within our hands, our own hands, the ability to heal anything. Sometimes we just need a little information and guidance on how to do so. And I think this conversation has definitely been that. Thank you, Ray. Thank you, everyone. And see you next time on Kaleidoscope of Possibilities.
Thank you, Adriana.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of Kaleidoscope of Possibilities, Alternative Perspectives on Mental Health. This has been Dr. Adriana Popescu. If you enjoyed this episode, please like and subscribe and share with others. To find out more about me, my guests, and more, please visit my website at adrianapopescu.org. See you next time.